So this morning, I get to preach another sermon on God's generosity. I actually really believe in God's generosity. If you've seen here, we've had cows on the screen, and I wondered if anybody was like, why do we have cows on the screen when we talk about God's generosity? So once upon a time, when we were first starting the church, we were running out of money, which always happens with every church everywhere. They always don't have enough money. But at the time, we were still planting the church, figuring out what we were going to do. And so I called a friend of mine who literally manages money for his living. Like, he manages millions. And so maybe part of me was hoping that he would give something. But really, I just wanted his wisdom. And he gave me the most frustrating wisdom that I could have gotten at that moment. And he said, well, John, it says in the scriptures that God owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Ask him to sell some. Children, do you know that God owns cattle? This is a great Texan verse, by the way. And so my friend said, John, why don't you have God sell some of his cows and take care of your finances? Let me tell you, that was like the first year when we planted the church. God has always taken care of us. This all comes from Psalm 50, verse 8. And God says, I have no complaint about your sacrifices and your burnt offerings that you constantly offer, but I wouldn't take the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. Do you ever feel like God takes stuff away from you to teach you a lesson, like he's going to steal your money, like he's against you? This is not the Lord. He says, I wouldn't take the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens, for all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. This is where Jesus is getting that verse about, why do you worry? Because even the birds are taken care of, even the people, the animals in the fields, the people in the fields. Sure, God takes care of them too. Get this, and this is why, and I've been rebuked a little bit by saying this, and rightfully so. I always tell you, God doesn't need your money. And the church doesn't need your money. And the rebuke I usually get is, John, if you keep saying that, people aren't going to recognize that the church is actually the place where they're supposed to give. But that whole tendency for me comes from this verse in 12. God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice a thank offering to God. You see, he turns it here. He says, good for you that you want to sacrifice, but make sure when you're sacrificing, when you're giving, that it's not because you think I need it. Make it the overflow of your heart. You see, I'm asking you to take all of my generosity toward you and not hand it back with an unwilling obedience, but to hand it back in surrender as a thank offering. Fulfill your promises to the one on high. Then, when you call on me, when you're in trouble, I'll rescue you and you will give me glory. I think it's Malachi when the prophet there talks about, bring the tithe into the storehouses and I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. I need two children to be examples right now. All right, one and two, I need real children, Pablo, not adult children. Or you know what, I'll take an adult, that's fine. All right, come on, Nora. Go on up. So God said, bring the tithes into my storehouses, and I will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. Now, who wants to, I need you to Elias, you're my son and I love you. You are not demonic at all. There's not been a demonic spirit ever in you, but I want you to pretend that you're attacking this. This is the car engine of our car at home. This is what happens. We always get attacked. This is the condition of our world. He's really messing up this engine. Now, it says, bring the tithes into the storehouses, and I will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. Now, Nora, I want you to bust up Elias and stop him from keeping... I knew she would like this. I want you to carry Elias away and stop him from attacking the car engine. And that's the way it works. Then you call on me when you're in trouble, and I'll rescue you, and you will give me glory. Have you ever seen God just rescue you? Your faithfulness to him wasn't out of bitterness or spite. It was out of just wanting to be a generous person back to God, reflecting his generosity. It's because God owns it all. I'm going to ask for you guys in just a minute, and you're going to get donuts, so you want to come back up. God owns it all. Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all of its people belong to him. Deuteronomy 10:14, look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it belong to the Lord your God. Leviticus 25:23, the land must never be sold on a permanent basis, for the Lord, the land belongs to me. You are only foreigners and tenant farmers working for me. It was a great thing when you bought your house until you realized that God owned it before you did. And he still does, even though you pay the bank. Yeah. Every country, every territory, it's not ours. It belongs to the Lord. And in God's generosity, he says, I want you to steward it. Now, I want to make an example this morning. Children, I need three of you now. I need three kids. I'm holding donuts. Okay, there are only two. Okay, yeah, come on up. Two, one, two. Who else? I need one more. Okay. You don't have to destroy anything anymore or act like a demon, okay? Nolo, I want you to be God. Not really. But I want you to act like God. This is all of God's resources, these munchkins. Isn't that great? They're really tasty. So, Nolo's the Lord. And he's got all of these resources. Isn't it cool? Now, Elias, you love following Jesus, don't you? Okay? And so you go, Jesus, I would love to share in your generosity. Would you share it with me? He's really good. That was good. So go ahead. Go ahead and share it with him. Great. No, you get the whole thing. You get the whole thing. Don't worry. You own cattle on a thousand hills, so there's plenty for you. Now, this is all of God's generosity for you, Elias. All of his resources, all of his redemption, and all of his holiness entrusted to you, revealed to you because he loves you. Okay? Now, Nora comes along, and sorry, Nora, now you're going to be the bad guy. Nora comes along, and she says, yeah, but I want it. And you're like, okay, you can have it, Nora. Go ahead, give it to Nora. And Nora's got all of it, but Elias is missing it. Now, God's generosity is abundant. It's overflowing. You can pass it out as much as you want. But there's something here where Nolo goes, hey, what have you done with my generosity? Did you use it for my good? Nolo gets to ask, hey, come back. Nolo gets to ask, where did my resources go? Were they wasted or were they stewarded well? Or maybe Elias took them and you hid them under your chair because you didn't want anybody to have them. I know you want them so bad, so come on. I'm punishing the children by holding munchkins in them. Now, if Elias, knowing that the generosity of God was given to him and meant to be given away, and Elias gives it to good purpose, he can go back to Nolo and say, and Nolo says, what have you done with my generosity?
What have you done with my generosity?
Well, that's what Nolo says to you.
And Elias
can say, I've stewarded it well. Guess what Nolo does then? And he trusts him with more. Now, you kids have the special job right now of actually giving away these munchkins to the congregation. Go ahead and do it. Clap for these kids. And eat some of yourself. You better eat them all because I'm on a diet. You see, Jesus talked about money a lot. He knew that these resources that we have and that we use, they're actually really close to our heart. They change everything. You new parents, you don't know anything about being worried about money, do you? Oh my goodness. When you know that you're going to have a baby, it's like everything goes out the window. Like, oh, what are we going to do? You moms, you're really good at like making sure that everything's in place. But that also means that the Target bill goes higher and higher. And the if there was Babies R Us anymore, you'd go there or whatever. We know that we are so afraid and concerned about finances that Jesus talked about it a lot. In fact, he talked about it so much, it was in the top four of all the things that Jesus talked about. Can we have that slide up there with the circles and the charts that you probably can't read? I got Arlita a wonderful infograph book for Christmas, and they won't let you have any digitally, so I just took a picture for you, and it's not going to go anywhere. We're just sharing it for this congregation. In this infograph on the left, you see all the many times up to, it looks like, 50, 60 times and more that Jesus talked about things. Primarily the kingdom of God, Father God, faith, and look at that yellow one right there. That's money. Jesus talked about money more than Satan, more than God's judgment, more than how to move buildings, which he was actually very good at. Healing and miracles, law and the prophets, sacrificial living, eating and drinking, spiritual leaders, Jesus' death, his family, all that stuff. Jesus talked about money more than all those things. We have to wonder what he wanted us to know. Well, I think he talked about money a lot, especially with the religious leaders, and that's who I want to address today. So I'm going to preach to myself, and I want you to hear it just a little bit. He tells a story, this parable of the rich fool. These guys were arguing at the time, the territory of Israel, before Jesus was raised from the dead and became the only temple that we'll ever need. They were all battling over the land of Israel. And they said, Jesus, help me. I want my own portion of the land of Israel. I want mine. And he said, you guys, you don't realize the generosity that I'm giving to you. Where the land is necessary for redemption, I'm the only one you need. Finally, in Luke 12, 42, he says, and the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is the one whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his household servants and feeding him. He's talking to the religious leaders here. He's talking to anybody who is resting more in what they get own than in stewarding God's resources. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there'll be a reward. Munchkins for everybody. I tell you the truth, the master will put his servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks my master won't be back for a while and he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk? Now, you all know, maybe you don't know, that I get a salary from the church. My family is taken care of. We're not in need. We manage our finances well. What if you knew that I was taking my salary and gambling it every weekend? What if you thought that I was getting drunk every weekend? What if you thought and you knew that me as a pastor was going around after I'd received a generous portion from the Lord, his resources, what if I went around and started accusing people and judging people and telling them that they weren't good enough and that they should stop gambling even though I was gambling on the side? What a mess. This is what was happening. The Pharisees and the priests were just putting more and more judgment on the people, asking things of them that the priests couldn't do themselves. Well, Luke 12:46 says, then the master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servants in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. People think that Jesus wasn't harsh. He was, especially with the religious, especially with those that were entrusted with his generosity. He doesn't hold back. You know why? He will not let anybody go about representing him, putting burdens on people, putting harsh things on people, stealing their money, abusing them, misusing his generosity. He won't let them do that without them getting the worst of the punishment. You've heard that a millstone might be put around somebody's foot for taking somebody away from the guidance of Jesus. They'll be thrown in the ocean. Friends, you've got to know that as a pastor and as leaders, we take these verses really, really seriously. You have to know that being an example of God's generosity means that I look at this verse and I take his words very seriously. That I know that he's going to come back with mercy and justice. I know that Jesus is the best and the only one that could judge anybody, and he's going to judge me knowing who I am, knowing what I did, knowing my best intentions. He's the only one that can. Even if you see me driving my father-in-law's BMW, for instance, that we get to borrow every once in a while, you might say, oh, a pastor's really got some, he's rolling, that electric car, it's not mine. But if it was, and you judged me, you might. It's God that actually gets to judge us for all this stuff. Nevertheless, he says, I'm going to cut them in pieces. And a servant who knows what the master wants, who knows his generosity, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out his instructions, will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone who has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. So that means that our finances as a church have lots and lots of transparency. From a treasurer to somebody who's different that deposits it. And when they deposit it, it's sealed in a plastic bag that can't be tampered with. And when it goes to the bank, then the bank is seen by an accountant, but the treasurer sees it differently. And somebody else oversees the giving when it's entered into the system. And we take your giving very seriously. And we watch it like a hawk, not to judge you, but to make sure that we're accounting for the finances with the best accountability that we can. Because we know that if we misuse or mishandle the generosity of God, we've got something to answer for. God's generosity is amazing. It's bigger than Munchkins. It's tastier. It's more fulfilling. It's amazing. But what can happen is that we misuse it or we don't take it seriously. People and churches who misuse God's generosity get severely punished. But those who steward God's generosity are entrusted with even more. The way we steward God's generosity here and now is by the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God gets to be thrown all over the place and shared and given away with awesome generosity. Ephesians 1:21 says, now he is far above all ruler and authority, power, anything else, not only this world, but also the world to come. God has put everything under the authority of Christ. Christ is the head of the kingdom. And then look what happens here. And he has made him over all things for the benefit of the church. We are the stewards of him and his kingdom and his generosity. And the church is his body, is made full and complete by Christ who fills things everywhere. We're entrusted to carry out God's kingdom work, and we carry out his vision together. You've heard Matthew 28, 18 through 20, maybe. It's the commissioning. It's a great commission where Jesus says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given. And be sure of this, I will be with you even to the ends of the age. So when we think about stewarding God's kingdom, when we think about stewarding his generosity, I think about three different things. I think about one, stewarding is holiness. God first reveals himself as other. I am, I am, I am holy. I'm separate from you. I'm different than you. I am above. I am different. You cannot become me. And I'm worthy of worship. So when we steward his generosity and his kingdom, one thing that the church really focuses on is stewarding his holiness, which means welcoming people, inviting people to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why our mission statement is to welcome Jesus into all of life. You know this better than I do, that our city struggles with putting God over here and the rest of life over here. And never should the two be intertwined. Maybe I go to church so that I can do whatever I want at work. Or I go to church to be morally justified so that I can abuse people. Or maybe I go to church, but being religious is different than the rest of life. No, for us, if we recognize Jesus and his kingdom here and now, it means that we welcome Jesus into all of life and stewarding his holiness. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth is one of the first ways we steward his generosity. His generosity comes first in holiness. Secondly, we steward his creation. If the earth is his and everything in it, if we abuse it, finances, land, our neighbors, immigrants, if we're harsh with them, if we're not giving God's generosity towards them, what are we doing? God's generosity is for everyone, the whole world. More than defending our own territory, we defend the generosity of God. The kingdom of God is meant to be stewarded. His creation, taking care of creation, resources, the earth. And then finally, stewarding reconciliation and salvation. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, you are Christ's ambassadors. He has become the one who's come to you to reconcile you to God. Each one of you has sinned. But now you go out with this reconciliation and you're generous with it. When someone's harsh to you, you forgive them quickly. When someone's in need of God's redemption, you don't judge them with a box. You go to them and say, God's redemption is for you. You see, with all of these things, finances, God's redemption, his holiness, creation, we either become bottlenecks of it or we become stewards of it. And the call is to become stewards, especially as a church. You see, you understand, I'm judging us as leaders first. If our church isn't about these things, if we're not stewarding them well, what are we doing here? I want to invite Victor up just for the last couple of minutes. I wanted to show you just a bit of an overview of our budget for 2019. And Victor is our treasurer. Yeah, grab a mic. There should be another, thank you, Karina. Victor, would you just speak to how we came up with the 2019 budget? Just what processes we went to and what it meant to steward God's generosity in that way?
Yeah. Well, it was a really fun experience for me. So I just started serving as a treasurer last year and was tasked with defining the budget for 2019. And what I really loved about the process is that we started off with asking, where is God leading us? Or as John would say, what is God blowing on in our church? I love that because we actually have enough data where 7 years in, we could easily draw trend lines and say, this is how many butts and seats and this is how much revenue we'll get and this is like where we've been allocating all of our finances. But instead, we were just asking the hard question of, where are you going next? Not looking at the past to predict the future, but asking God, what is the future? And some of the things that really came up was like, we are a wonderful and pleasing congregation of scattered servants, people who live in Stone Oak, in Cannon Lake, in Helotes, in town, south side, everywhere, right? We live lives that are all across town. It's like, God is doing something there. Let's press into that.
Yeah.
And John has been talking about that all year, so we won't have to talk about it now. God really wanted to grow more in our weekly lives, like throughout the week lives in small group. By his own hand, he provided through Michael's last year at his company to give $10,000 into Snack Pack. And I think $10,000 into, I forgot the name of the new company, the group now, the Foster Kids.
Oh, yeah, One Hope for Kids.
Yeah, One Hope. Yeah. One Hope. So like, he's blowing into these things. So, yeah, we should press into that. That's what he's doing. And honestly, there's another one we continue to feel like God wanted to build into, provide for us a building, but we have no plan. So we're like, we're not going to put money in there until you kind of give us a little more concrete.
Yeah.
So we made these decisions based on what God was telling us about what the next year would hold. And I think one of the things that was really bold for me in deciding how much to budget for is that God has a plan for us, and therefore, by his own right hand, he will provide the means. And so instead of saying, like, oh, we're going to close our hands, close our fists over what he has already given us, this is the group that we have. This is what we're investing in. I want to say God is expansive. In the ways that he provided for us miraculously over the last year, we can trust that he will continue to provide for that because it's his vision. It's not like he bailed us out of poor decision-making or our own devices, but he provided miraculously so that his own vision comes to bear. And so we really press into that as well in terms of how much revenue to set aside. And also that if you look here at the red, the bottom right, we chose to invest 16% of all of our finances in activities that are outside of the church, in things like Snack Pack for sure, in church planting, in our partnership with Argentina, in the stuff that people in our congregation are going out and doing for the kingdom. We say we're going to set aside all that money, even as a small church, so that God can continue to do his work in very many expressions of his kingdom through his people. So it was just a really awesome experience of going through this and saying, it is all yours. It is all God's stuff, right? And he can tell us where to direct it, and we can just be stewards in that and not worry about how the ins and outs are going to work. And we just kind of, we document it and we steward it, but we're not worrying about it from every day.
And then God surprised us, and he said, hey, by the way, another 10,000 I want you to give away.
Yeah.
It's not included in this. Sometimes God does that too. What's that?
And we had to find space for it, but yes.
And we had to find space for it. We dipped into savings that we barely had, and we gave it away to another church.
Yeah. As a person's tasked with being the treasurer, that is a stretchy moment for me.
It was. Yeah. Texting with Victor going, I think this is what God's doing. Give me a minute. Yes, this is what he's doing. Yeah. It's hard. I want to protect these monies. I want a building for ourselves. Why are we, all these kind of things are the things we all think of. But God's tasked us with his generosity, not with resources that we make up ourselves, but with his generosity to us that we give away. Victor, thank you for your service. Thank you for everything you do for the church. So what would it look like if the church was a good steward of God's kingdom? I think with our budget, we lean into these things. But if you go to the next slide, our priorities change for the way that we think about the future. And we dream. The things in blue there are the things we already do and we already invest in. The things in red are what ifs. What if we could plant churches in 3 more cities in Argentina? Investing in renewal meetings that just lit up the whole cities, not for the sake of the vineyard, but for the sake of the church being established in Argentina in a strong way. What if we could plant churches all around San Antonio where the kingdom of God became the priority of people's lives, not their worries, not separating God and separating our lives, but churches that welcome Jesus into all of life, into the radical middle of walking through the nuance of all of it. As we continue to worship the King and serve the kingdom and Snack Pack it under the bridge and other outreach and evangelism and manna bags, all of it is based on believing that the kingdom of God and the word of God declares that his generosity is being given to us freely, but we're called to steward it. It's all for him. And it's not given back to him or given away with a sort of a hard willingness. It's given away generously, trustingly, that he owns it all. So I want to get back to stewarding his holiness, stewarding his creation, stewarding reconciliation and salvation. For you this week, as we're over time, thank you for your patience. The call to ministry for me, for you this week, is to just say thank you. Thank you for your trust. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your trust. Before the service, there were people praying for you, saying that there may be some that need ministry this morning. You can put those words up on the screen. I want to be entrusted with more of God's kingdom. I want to steward it well. I want to focus our energy that way, personally and as a church. I want to work together towards that. There are some of you that feel like you need to be lifted up, and the Lord's ready to surround you. If the walls of your life have been broken down, God wants to repair them. If the chaos of life is pulling you like a tsunami, God has an oasis for you. There are ministry teams that are going to be available for you in just a minute in this front corner, praying for every emotional, physical, and spiritual need. But it's the 5th Sunday, so they're not going to be there, right? Did we say that? They'll be there? Okay, I might have got it mixed up. There are teams that will be there for you. If you would stand with me right now. Maybe some of you are calling you this way to these things. Maybe some of you have heard the challenge of stewardship and you're thinking, boy, if God takes this really seriously for the church, what does he want of me? What does it mean for me to share God's generosity, to share his kingdom, to overflow in those ways? How can I pray for my church, my pastor, and the leaders as they are entrusted with the stewardship of the church? I want to bless you this week into God's generosity. Because the truth is that God's generosity is full and overwhelming and for you, and it never stops. So I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that you would know his generosity full and well, that you would be called by him to steward it, to risk in giving it away, that you would see yourself a steward of his kingdom this week. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, if you have a moment to fill out that Next Steps card, there are questions for everybody there, not just newcomers. Please fill one out and leave it by the door. Please come for ministry and have a great, great week. And a great 4th of July.